This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because I got a bunch of that. And with me on the boards today is the fabulous Bobby.
Hey, how are you?
Joyful and grateful. How are you today?
I'm doing well, enjoying this cloud cover, actually, because it's cooler.
Yes, that's a good thing. And it's always cool in here because we're cool.
I like that.
And with me today, I have my friend Debbie Selsavage.
Hey, good morning. Or it is good afternoon now.
Yeah, we're in the studio together. Yay! And on the line, we have the one and only my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, I'm sitting on the top stoop. It's pouring and the winds are whipping like the other night when you were here.
Really?
Oh. Yes. They said it'll come off and on all day today.
Huh. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Debbie. How are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, it's so nice that you can be with Lenny.
I know. There'll be a day you'll come back, won't you?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I might have to drag her by the hair of the head. But
we brought you a screen here so that you can do that.
If you want that, we could put a screen between you and me. She brought one today for you.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So I'll show you that later.
Great. You know who I heard from this morning?
Who?
Bernie.
Yes.
And she's all excited about you
interviewing her mother.
98-year-old mom.
Yeah, she lives in Canada.
Yes.
So I went this week, I did my first interview. I'm going to be doing a segment, Connecting Caregivers Presents Candid Conversations with Elders. And so the other day, Lynn went with me. We interviewed a 96-year-old woman, Mama Rose. And in fact,
she's so fabulous.
And she was so happy to have us there. In fact, I spoke to her son, and I made a commitment, and starting in another week or two, every other Monday, I'm going to go have Mondays with Mama Rose and just continue to interview her about her life, because
cool.
She's so fabulous.
She has so many interesting stories, and I'm not going to give away some of the points. She had me laughing.
Oh, my God. She's just wonderful.
She's so sharp.
And then Bernie's mother in Canada is so sharp. And
She's 98.
Yeah, and
oh
she's
my
98.
Gosh.
Bernie went to school with Lynn. And and one day a bunch of came down to visit. You know, they came down and I met Bernie and everything. And Bernie told me that her mom complains all the time that she just gets bills in the mail or advertisements and stuff. So I send her a card every couple of weeks now. We've never met. I pull pictures of her off Facebook. I go, oh, this is what me and Lynn are doing. But this woman is hot stuff.
And oh, she's only 98.
Bernie said the only problem you're going to have is that she said her mother will listen, but her mother will tell you a story, and she's so sharp, but she'll tell you every last detail.
Oh, I have a very good editor, thank you, God.
No, Bernie said she'll keep her in line. I thought, Bernie, you talk just as much as your mother.
She's 98. You don't have to keep a person 98 in line.
No.
It's not right.
So you got any new listeners?
Of course. We have Ariana in Seminole. We have Karen in Largo. And we have Mary Beth from Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, welcome, ladies.
Yes, welcome. You know, I always say there's plenty of room around the caregiver table for new listeners, whether it's while we're live on the Tantalk Radio Network, on AM and FM, or on YouTube, or on Facebook, or
whatever
Apple iTunes, wherever they'll take me.
Whoever will listen.
Whoever will listen. We're out there. The more the merrier. But you know what? Every week I get contacts from some new people from who knows where.
Yeah.
From one of them, you know, or whatever.
They find you on one of your outlets.
Somewhere. Somebody just found me on LinkedIn the other day, so who knows.
Yeah.
All right, honey. I'll see you later.
See you later.
Bye, Lynn. Take
Debbie.
Care.
Bye. And now we have our first guest on the phone, Krista Messenbrink. Okay, Linda. Hey, honey.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's 9 in the morning here in California, so it's still pretty early for me.
Well, actually, I did a support group this morning online at 10 o'clock, and there was a woman there. It was 7 a.m. where she was living.
7 a.m., yeah. She was out there in Seattle, Washington State.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, same time zone.
So, first of all, Krista, meet Debbie.
Hi. I got on your website the other day, and really interesting. I'm really glad I'm here to listen to what you have to say for some people living with dementia.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Krista and I actually met through Facebook. And not so long ago.
You got to love this technology now, you know? Or you got to hate it.
Yeah, or a little bit of both.
Love and hate it.
Yeah.
For those of us that don't want to get used to it, we have to get used to it.
That's for sure. So we met on Facebook and we've been chatting back and forth. And then she did a podcast the other day and I was a guest on her podcast. Mm-hmm. I was like, come on the show. Because, you know, Debbie and I were talking before the show, and Debbie said, seems like you do a lot of things like Debbie does and things like I do.
Right.
And the more the merrier, because we need as many people out there helping caregivers.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what brought you to that field or that avenue?
Yeah, tell us
avenue.
Your story.
Yeah. Briefly,
yeah,
as
yeah.
Lynn said, right?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, really. So originally, I wasn't making it my plan to go into the dementia world.
I don't think any of us. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's true. So my background and my training is being a board-certified music therapist. And one of our biggest groups that we work with are folks with dementia because of how effective music is as a therapy for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's originally how, like, what I got trained on. Is in music therapy, just general, and I just happened to find work at a psychiatric hospital for dementia folks, and I did not know what I was getting myself into, I will tell you what. So it was a sharp learning curve, and in so many ways, I feel so much more like the at-home caregiver than I do a professional caregiver, in that, you know, I'm not the nurse that's giving out medications or things like that. As someone who's part of the therapy team at the hospital that I work at, a lot of times I'm using a lot of the strategies that Linda talks about in her Tuesday tips to calm some patients that have some really extreme behaviors that bring them to our hospital, to calm them naturally. Something that I think would be comforting for a lot of at-home caregivers to know is mm-hmm. that the healthcare system actually isn't that interested in medicating the ever-living whatever of your loved one. We actually want to use as many natural interventions as possible in order to reduce the amount of medication they're given or that they need so that they can be calm and stabilized. So anyways, that tends to be my job most of the time, as well as leading music groups in order to get them more engaged. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure. Have you ladies seen the documentary Alive Inside?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Henry is my favorite guy.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And it was, what was...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
You know, when you talk about music therapy, it's not just for the person, and like in that Alive Inside, Henry, it is what it does to the whole floor. The other folks start joining in and their whole moods and behaviors change also. So it's a trickle effect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the opposite can be true as well. One person that's screaming makes the whole room start screaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I get brought in to do. And over the years of doing that, I've learned a lot of stuff. And the reason I jumped into the online space, because of course you see all these people who are veterans in their particular fields. Like, I've been doing this for 10 years, 15 years, 30 years. And I thought to myself, what the heck do I know about anything? But what
Plenty.
Changed my mind to start creating, what changed my mind to jump into the online space and start creating content for dementia caregivers is that I was floored by the amount of people that were my age, like in their 20s, I'm 29, being full-time caregivers. Like, it was shocking to me, just like the numbers. So I'm with you guys in that we need as many voices and diverse voices in the dementia caregiver world so that each person that is a dementia caregiver can have somebody to look to that looks like them or has more similar experiences to them. So ultimately, that's what motivated me to jump into the space. I mean, not that I only serve people that look like me per se, but just as someone, another voice out there, much like you guys, that are sharing your experiences with folks that have dementia. You know, like we're folks that have lived with it, you know, day by day in our everyday lives, like been in the trenches, like listening to the screaming and doing the hard work.
And then you have the people that just received a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they know?
But I wouldn't look at the fact that I don't have the experience that you were just saying, the 29 years or the 15 years. I think what's great about that, it's not and should not be a deficit. It is now you have going in, looking at different eyes. And you might do some things that somebody else might not have thought about. So you can change some of what the professionals might think about doing instead of medicating, reach for that radio.
I learn stuff every single day.
Every day.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And you know, we just keep, and then new things come out, and you like the animatronic dogs and cats.
Right. It's exciting, actually.
Yeah.
It really is exciting, because when I was caring for my husband, Albert, in 2004 and 2005, you
know,
you could barely find a support group.
Right.
You could barely even talk about it.
Right.
Now we're actually talking about it and talking about the situations. But the therapies that we should be using is just what Krista's talking about, is try some therapies that are not pharmaceutical.
Yes.
Try some therapies that will give that person a quality of life of enjoyment. And so I think that's great.
But we have to teach them those therapies.
We do.
And we learn new therapies every day.
Every day.
Yeah, I have one caregiver takes care of his aunt. And they live together, just him and his aunt. And she was having a lot of problems with sundowners in the afternoon. So they dance away the sundowners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They actually dance for like an hour and a half every afternoon. And now it's something to look forward to than something to dread.
Right. And we're going to see those changes that are very effective. And we need more folks like Krista that are willing to see how music therapy would play, how animal therapy plays in. We already know all that it works. We already know that it brings joy. This should be part of our day.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And even the power of taking some time and listening to the person that has dementia, that's something I do a lot of as well in my work. The nurses are running around at my hospital, you know, trying to keep everybody physically healthy, especially with COVID. That's a mess within itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were just talking about that. We were just talking about that before we got on, that just what you said, Krista, sitting down and listening to a person and having a conversation because you have that time. My partner and I did that. We went to go in our support groups. We were talking about this Amish starter bread. So here, I just brought some starter bread from Citrus County to Linda for a couple of folks in our support group. But we thought we weren't going to spend a lot of time, and we ended up spending 2 hours just having a great conversation with someone living with dementia. And it was so rewarding for both of us, for all four of us.
Right.
So it is, you're exactly right. And to obtain this kind of feeling at 29
is wonderful, because I'm going to need a caregiver one of these days.
We might find a Krista out there that will take care of us.
Yes. Krista, do you like Florida?
You never know. California is on fire right now. So
oh,
you
yeah.
never know where I'm going to flee to.
So Linda and I were talking too, that your website is fairly new. So this whole dementia success path is a fairly new starting
phenomenon.
Point. Right. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember, so the reason why I started Dementia Success Path is sitting in quarantine and like all of us did, and maybe still are doing at this point. And really thinking about, I don't know, where I wanted the next 10 years of my life to go. I guess not to get too heavy, but during COVID-19, my boss, who was also a music therapist, he ended up passing away from COVID-19, like well, because our whole hospital got COVID-19. So he also got it and ended up passing away. And that experience really made me think about, like, what impact, what legacy do I want to leave on this world? And I really reflected upon the work that I've been doing for the past 4 or 5 years with my folks with dementia and thought, you know, these folks are, you know, they're everything to me in my life. And I've seen, I mean, obviously a lot of challenging moments, but also so many beautiful, rewarding moments. Mm-hmm. And it lit a fire inside of me to think, I want to share this with people. I want to share and not, like, I want to inspire a world within caregiving where we aren't so focused on all the challenges and all the difficulties. And it's not that we want to ignore that, but
no,
have a mindset where we're looking for these beautiful, precious moments with our folks, because once they're gone, those are going to be the things that we look back on. And even when we're in the journey of caregiving, the times that are beautiful, like the nice conversation, the moments we have where we're listening to their favorite song, things of that nature are going to be the things that make the more difficult moments easier. It's a thing that builds trust with them that will make that difficult moment not be as long or as arduous.
Right.
So it inspired me to get out there and create this stuff. So yeah, I'm pretty new to the online game when it comes to dementia. But
and so are we when it comes to dementia.
We're all learning.
And so is our folks that are, you know, so.
I'll tell you, when we first started the support groups on Zoom, so I did live support groups before.
We did,
you.
I did too for 7, yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, like.
I don't want to do this.
And is it going to be the same? You know, I can't hug somebody. Mm-hmm. I can't look them in the eyes, but I can look them in the eyes. I'm learning better. And,
right.
And but then the opportunity came to have other people in these support groups that never could be in a support group before.
Correct.
You know, and
it's been really the best thing to take something like COVID that was not a great thing to have to start managing, but it was an opportunity that turned out to be more rewarding. And we tell our support group, we tell the people in the support group that it's really beneficial for me. Because I miss those in-person things, and I've learned and gotten more resources than I probably would have. But I've seen the support groups and the folks really gain a lot of empathy provide.
Krista, we were just talking about two people before the show, too, and so I'd like Debbie to tell the story of Flo and Carmen, because this is wonderful.
Well, because the one thing with online is we don't have, like Linda said, sometimes people can't make it to the support groups because they're not close.
Right.
So this takes away geographical boundaries. Like you said, we have someone that's from Washington State. Well, we have a village called the Villages real close to us, and they started, there's some people on the group that were saying, you live in the Villages, how far, where do you, and they finding out that they're very close to each other. Well, they started to talk a little bit more and thought, maybe we better have what's called the play date. And the four of us, both their husbands, have forms of dementia, and they decided they'd meet at a billiards hall. And they've been doing this for about a month and a half, but about the second week, somebody got wind of it from the paper. I don't know if Carmen might have called.
No, she didn't.
But they got wind of it from the paper, and they connected and had an article in the Village Sun about what they were doing with COVID and how it was providing them the support that they've lost because their person is changing. And unfortunately, that's what happens with the disease.
Yeah.
So what the support group is doing now is that they're starting to really hone in on where people are and how they can be support for each other, because it's really been wonderful.
And the two ladies said the one day they were playing, I think the pool table was like in a clubhouse or something. The guys were playing by their own game of pool, however they did it. And they said, we sat out on the patio, the two of us, and just yakked for an hour.
Right. And that's great support, because each one of them understand. So the virtual platform has really proven, I haven't seen anything like it in seven or 8 years.
I never thought I was going to like it at all.
I've really, really enjoyed it. And Krista, you're not quite as old as Linda and I are. So we will probably...
Lord willing, I will be one day.
Yeah, but we will never be 29. But it's really great to see someone of your age that is really concerned and
embracing
seeing,
this.
Right. And is seeing what you can contribute. That is, and has an opportunity to contribute, because what Linda just mentioned was hugs. Hug therapy is another one of those therapies that worked incredible with my husband, Albert. So it was non-pharmaceutical. So I think for right now, a lot of things can be done and provide just some hugs, some music, some dancing.
Well, we need to hear from our wonderful sponsors. So, Krista, don't go away. Hang out with us, okay? We'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents, and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you. And I think to myself,
what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So one of my caregivers called me last week and said one of her neighbors was listening to the show and heard the caregiver affirmation, and she went over to her house. And now every afternoon at 4 o'clock, she's taking a little walk with her mother. She goes over.
That's nice.
Her mom's in a wheelchair. They wear their masks.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes her for like a half hour walk down
just
to the park or see the ducks. It just gives her a half hour. She said, mm-hmm. Linda, I feel like a new person just from that half hour.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I don't think many times people that are in the that are not in the caregiving situation realize how much value that could be for somebody. So
something they can count on every day if she's going to come take a walk.
And mom gets to count on it too.
Yeah, yeah. Because sometimes I think our loved ones want to be away from us maybe a little bit.
You might think you're the bomb caregiver, but sometimes under their breath they're going, hey.
Can we have somebody funner?
Yeah. So, Krista, do you have support groups by you?
You know, it's kind of been a similar situation around here in Orange County where I live, which is everything has moved online. I started my own support group on Facebook thinking, I think the original thought behind it was, oh, I'll just find people like me. But of course, as time went on, it sort of snowballed where everybody of all ages joined, which I don't have a problem with. I spend every day with people that are way older than me, and quite frankly I'm way better for it because I feel I have a much different perspective on life because like all my colleagues are at least like 20, 30 years older than me, and of course all the patients that I care for are older than me. But anyway, so I'm very, very comfortable with diverse ages, which is what my support group has ended up becoming. And it's so beautiful to see all these different folks come together and really just lift each other up and be there for each other.
And know that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Group.
Mm-hmm. Not
yes,
alone.
And know that they're not alone.
Well, I noticed every once in a while, because we're able to do more support groups online, because I don't have travel time,
right.
I don't have all of that. I've noticed that the frequency of doing the support groups has really helped. And poor things, if somebody new comes in that's really struggling, the rest of the group is just laughing, carrying on, like there's not a care in the world. But it's really been great to see the transformation of them, that they can take one situation, work with it, and then laugh.
Yeah.
Laugh
you know what? You see sometimes in the beginning, they're just so weary. They're so weary that it looks like they don't think they're ever going to laugh again. And then, you know what, caregivers can do some pretty damn funny things, too.
You know, our folks could do some funny things, though.
Oh,
like that's
yeah.
That's how you make it. You just chuckle at some of the funny stuff that ends up happening or some of the funny things that my folks say hilarious things all the time. It is the best. Like, through this whole crazy COVID situation, like, if I'm super honest, it's my folks living with dementia that have been, like, the brightest light in my life as a healthcare worker during all this darkness. Like, it's a privilege to be able to come to work and just be with them, because all the nurses and CNAs are just running around like chickens with their heads cut off in
right.
time. sit with our folks. So I'm there with like full space suit.
Full space with my suit.
You know,
yeah, all the PPE.
What kind of instruments do you play, or do you?
Yes. So what I will do, I got trained in college. Becoming a music therapist is a lot like getting a psychology degree and a music degree at the same time.
Right.
So
right.
I came into college training in classical voice. So my training was in like opera and like really, really high level singing. So what I do for my folks is I sing and I play guitar for the most part for them. And I structure the groups in such a way that I open up dialogue for them. So if somebody is very internally preoccupied, like maybe they're hearing voices or maybe they're hallucinating something in the corner, I may play like I Left My Heart in San Francisco or something, and they'll perk up and be just like, I think I know that song. And I'll ask them, hey, have you ever been to San Francisco? And that within itself will spark like a whole conversation with like the most unlikely people. Like folks that on the outside would seem like unreachable. Like you would really be surprised how far into the process that you could have even just a semi-normal conversation. There's a lot of just going with whatever they're saying.
You know, years ago, a friend of mine, Carol Ware McKenzie, she used to go around to memory communities and try to do some kind of stimulation for seniors. You know, like they have the big parachute thing and whatever. And there was one woman, they would bring her in every week, and she barely opened her eyes, and she would just sit in the chair. But they would still bring her in every week. And then somebody, one of the girls, found out that she liked horses. So every week they would bring her like a little stuffed animal horse or a little statue, you know, just something of a horse. And then one week they were all sitting around, they were having conversation, and somebody said something about horses, and she raised her horse. She just picked her horse up and raised her arm. So she was in that conversation somewhere. Somewhere.
That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Well, I think if
you never know.
The more you know about that person, the more you can engage them in a conversation. Right. And it makes them feel really purposeful, successful.
Yeah.
And they feel normal.
Yeah.
So not only everybody wants to fit in. So they feel normal because they can have a normal, fluent conversation.
Right.
It doesn't matter how many times they say it. It doesn't matter that I've heard it or I don't care. It matters that they are social, and that's the main deal. You know, when you were saying about the light of your day going, you know, our folks living with dementia don't have the same stressors that we do.
Right.
So they may look at things differently, like, wow, that's a really pretty tree out there. Well, I might not have ever sat and even noticed that darn tree.
Right.
But now we can have a conversation. So they have a whole different aspect on things that is really important, that we have to sit and listen.
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Marianne Fisher from Arden Courts was on the show, and we were talking, and she said something about a memory box. Now, I'm thinking of the ones that are hanging on the wall. No. What she does is she has, like, a file box on the table, and she goes online and prints out all these pictures. Like, they used to go to Lake George when they were kids, a picture of Lake George. Her mom was in the Air Force, and they're all in the box. And when her mom keeps repeating that story 15 times, she just picks out a new picture.
Right.
And puts some new ones in the box. And when someone comes to visit, they don't know what to take, what to say many times. They just have the box.
They have the box. There's a person that we met that does dollhouse therapy. And dollhouse therapy is that the pieces of furniture in each one of the rooms. So they may pull out a wood-burning stove and talk about the wood-burning stove.
Oh, how interesting.
So it's a whole dollhouse therapy, and it gets them engaged in using maybe the cradle versus a crib or the cat. It's just really incredible, but it is sparking a conversation on past. What did you do in your wood-burning stove? What do you remember? Kept my feet warm when it was damn cold outside.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I remember we heated our house, my husband and I. We bought a 100-year-old house in the beginning. It had no heat. We heated it with a wood-burning stove.
Wood-burning stove.
Sometimes I had to come home on my lunch break to put some wood in there.
Right.
You know, until we saved up enough money. And,
right.
But that's very interesting because my brother-in-law, who lives with my husband, is building a dollhouse. He's been doing it for about a year. And there's all this little furniture and everything. And when our hospice nurse came over a couple of weeks ago, he was showing it to her. And she was just, she said, reminds me of my childhood and this and that. And she took all these pictures of it. And she told us the other day when she came to visit, this is my calm therapy.
Yeah, dollhouse therapy.
She
is
says,
a
when
therapy.
I get a little, you know, anxious, she goes, I look at your pictures of the.
Yeah. It's a whole therapy all itself. So there's a lot of things out there, and we learn all the time. And this is what's so exciting, to be able to meet people like Krista that is actually saying, and I don't want to bring your age up again, but that that you are really honored to be around these folks, as Linda and I are.
Yes.
We really have enjoyed. I mean, why we get into the job is very different, but it all has the major goal of providing a better quality of life, and that's what I hear from you and see on your website.
So, Krista, what has been your most popular tip for dementia caregivers?
Yeah. So ever since I started posting content for caregivers, I've been very surprised what has been the most popular, and it's been the really, really small details of caregiving that you won't know until you're in it.
Okay.
The video from, I make YouTube videos. I have a YouTube channel as well. And the video that just blew up was a video explaining what I Want to Go Home is. Like, I'd heard it from like a couple hundred people with dementia that were patients at my hospital. And I've heard countless people that were working with me saying, oh, well, you're going to go home later. Or I even heard caregivers in the support group say, well, you are home. You're in the only home you've ever known for the last 40 years. And what I started to figure out as I started really digging into it, because, again, the real value of being the therapy arm at my hospital is that I have the time
right. To
really investigate what it is that they actually mean behind things that most people would write off as like, oh, they're just confused or they don't know what they're talking about. Like, I found that's almost never the case.
Or would they stop talking about it?
Yeah, it's like usually they've just lost the word to tell you what it is that they need. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to find alternative ways to have you figure it out. And I found that that's what I Want to Go Home means. What I found over the last several years is that I Want to Go Home means that they're looking for like the safety of home, the familiarity
the comfort,
of home, or the comfort
right.
of home.
Right.
So those are the things they're actually asking for. So how I will dig deeper and get to the bottom of what they actually need is say, well, what is at home that you need?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll say, I need to go to my bed because I really need a nap. And it's like, oh, that's what you needed? You're just tired? Or they'll say, my kids are at home. My kids are at home, and I'm scared they're going to light the house on fire. And awesome. Oh, well, how old are your kids? And they'll say, oh, my kids are 2 and 5. It's like, okay, well, now we know where you're basing your reality on.
Correct.
You're basing it off of a long-term memory. And from there, you can help find a solution and keep digging further and further. But you don't know these things until you've spent the time to really
right.
dig at the actual need there.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, of course, when you're with these folks all the time, like to you, it feels like, oh, this is just normal life. This is just normal life. This is just how we communicate.
Because it is for some people.
But to folks that are brand new to Pete, like their loved one is diagnosed and all these experiences are brand new and they haven't seen it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times like I have. To them, it's just like none of this makes sense. And I got so many comments on all these folks saying like, wow, I took your advice and asked mom what was at home that she needed. And I found out that we hadn't clipped her toenails in months and her toenails were hurting her.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's pretty amazing.
If you take the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
a lot
of
them will say, my mom and dad. I need to see my mom and dad. They've got chores for me. We've got to go to work. And
a lot of go to work.
Got to go to work. So, and, you know, if you actually look at this person and think that they have some 2 or 3 year old child or that their parents are still alive, it's impossible. But that's where they do believe. There was a gentleman that we were talking to that we know he was in his 80s. But when I just said to him, gosh, you're a nice looking man. How old are you? He said, I'm 45. Well, there was no way he was 45. Right. But that gave us the clue.
That gave you the clue to how to talk to him.
Correct. Correct. That's, I mean, to have that kind of insight, Krista, it's really great to see someone involved in the industry that has that kind of insight that you do.
And you have a workshop coming up, right?
Yeah, yes, I do. So over the years, I've gained a ton of what I would consider practical skills. So it's not the skills that the nurses have that are, you know, handing out medication or what have you. But it's the skills that I'm talking about, which is the various small things that I've learned over the years with hundreds of folks. So the workshop is 4 practical skills that every dementia caregiver needs. And I found these 4 skills are what I've considered essential in being successful at caring in the everyday care of someone with dementia. And of course, my perspective is a little bit different than somebody who is at home, but I tried my best to adjust it as much as possible to the at-home caregiver to take all the best practices that myself and my colleagues use with hundreds or thousands of people with dementia, like what has worked, and be able to take that and apply it to their folks at home. So they'll have, there's just like an ocean of information out there, and I want to condense it down to 4 things that they can focus on.
Yeah, from an ocean to a kiddie pool is a good idea.
I will get results. It just makes it so much less overwhelming. I'm going to be doing this workshop over 3 days. So the first day is going to be on this upcoming Tuesday, the 15th, where I'll be sharing how to set up your home and routine for success. And as a therapist, setting up your environment is just so critically important to engaging them at all, like in the first place, getting them to do anything practical, like taking their medication or eating or what have you. Like having the right environment is so important. So that's the first day. The second day is how to figure out needs and the top 3 challenging behaviors that I see, so that they have an idea of what to expect, or if they are experiencing those things, have an idea of the best ways to respond. Like what I've seen, like the responses I've seen that have had the best results of the most amount of people. So looking at it from a macro level. And then the third day is how to beat caregiver burnout and stress, because professional dementia caregivers have one of the biggest turnover rates in the healthcare industry.
Right.
So it's teaching them what I've seen have been the best results, not even just for me when it comes to managing caregiver burnout, but also my colleagues who have been in the industry for like 20, 30 years, like what they've even taught me in all this time.
And where can everybody find this?
That information. Yeah, so I know I gave you a link. I have a sign-up link.
Okay. Oh, I see it. Yeah, I'll put it on my on the YouTube and the website and everything.
Oh, fabulous! Yeah. So if anybody wants to sign up for this workshop, it's free, and it'll be really great. I hope that I can save a bunch of caregivers a lot of the trial and error.
Yes.
That I know I had to go through, and learning this type of stuff, so that they don't have to see the hundreds of people, maybe even the thousands at this point, that I've met over the years. And be able to just skip right on to the stuff that works.
Yeah. Well, it was wonderful having you on the show today, Krista. You know what? We'll be keeping in touch. We'll be doing things together. Debbie's got some ideas. She'll be contacting you, and we'll talk further.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, honey. Thanks. Have a delicious day.
Bye.
All right. Y'all too. Bye-bye.
And now we'll hear from our fabulous sponsors, because if you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. Don't go away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, we just had the Kentucky Derby.
We did.
Makes me think of my mother-in-law. She used to always watch it. One of my neighbors, I saw her on the parking lot the other day, and she said, I came and knocked on your door the other day, but you didn't answer the door. Sometimes I don't hear the bell. She goes, I was watching the Derby and I had mint juleps. So I was like,
oh,
darn.
You should have locked harder.
I'm getting a new bell. So Krista just told you about her seminar that she has coming up. Also, Arden Courts has one on September 15th, a Zoom webinar, recognizing pain in people with dementia. And that is very important to know about that.
Real big.
Mm-hmm. So if you want any information about that, just email me or contact me through the website and I will give you that information. And you have something coming up.
Hey, yeah, we do. We, you know, it changes everything, all events. Yep. We've always had an Alzheimer's walk in Citrus County to benefit awareness. And this year we are not, but we're going to have a virtual challenge, wellness challenge. I didn't realize, you know, we talk about caregivers and encompassing a lot of things. Wellness encompasses a lot of things. It's not just about let's go work out, let's right. get fit. It's about finding that time to go sit under a tree and read a book.
Yeah.
Or call someone on FaceTime or
taking a bath.
Yeah, and we were just telling you before we've had a group that wants to join us in the wellness challenge and they're cloggers. There's not a whole lot of cloggers
around.
But we decided the other day that we'd go over and see them. They clog 5 days a week in their driveway from 8:30 to 10:30.
Why?
to keep practicing. So
where do they normally perform?
At assisted livings.
Oh, oh.
So they don't have any of those.
Anywhere to go.
Right. So they're going to join us in the wellness challenge and do that, or get some other people to do some things. And we have probably about 10 or 15 teams now that have joined us.
That's fun.
And we're going to run it from September 13th, which starts tomorrow, go 4 weeks to October 10th, and just try and do something and have some kind of an idea that I'm going to do something that will make me feel good. And we talk about, you know, things to make our caregivers feel good. So you can give, you know, you can give us a call at 352-422-3663, or you can, we'll, you know, join us on the website.
Yep.
We have a particular website, but we got with a fitness person, Mr. Bill's Fitness in Inverness, and he taught us that wellness has about 8 components, so it's not about just going and doing cardio. It's about right. doing something that makes us feel good. And that could be just going to the ice cream shop and getting yeah. a banana split instead of an ice cream or yeah. something. So we're hoping that a lot of people that may not have been able to do a walk will join us in this.
You may end up getting more then.
Yeah.
So through Area Agency on Aid, BLS, you know BLS. Mm-hmm. So last year they had a fundraiser. It was a concert, and people went to it and everything. Of course, we couldn't do it that
right.
way. We did it virtually this year. They made something like $15,000.
Right. So we're seeing lots of different dynamics of how people have adapted being able to. Now, yeah. I don't know if I'd like to hear clogging every morning at 8:30, but they're still getting out. They're still yeah. doing their social distancing, and yeah. they're missing just what we are, in-person contact.
Yeah.
So yeah. come and join us. Have some fun.
What's the last thing you want our caregivers to hear today?
Smile. Take a breath.
Real smile, not a fake one.
No. And, you know, there's not a whole lot that Linda and I can say to you about what's going on in your journey, but we can tell you that there is some joy. We can help you find that joy. And
no, you're not alone.
No. And we'd love to meet your person.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear the stories, because there is success stories. We yes. all get into this because of something that happened and because of the way that my husband Albert was treated. But I'm here because I really thoroughly enjoy what I do. I want to provide a better quality of life yep. for people.
I'm so, sure Albert is looking down on you, very proud.
And he's perfect. Poor little Ed, you know. But he's perfect because, look, he can't disappoint me anymore. I don't have those troubles that some of our caregivers are having.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What Krista was saying was just do some things that are just a little different and listen.
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 Listen. You know, when you talk to your loved ones, sit down next to them. Look them in the eyes.
Yep.
Tune Thank in next you. Week. You know how much I love you guys. I know lots of times it's hard to sit down and listen to a whole show, but thank God everything's podcast, and you can get my Tuesday tips and everything else. We'll have some fantastic guests again next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Thanks for being here.
Friend, people can be so cold. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.